I do think that there is a lot to like about big commerce. Their marketing has been, frankly, pants. So, but it's very hard to,
You'll
if
have to
let's
translate that for me, like British to English
pants.
translation.
Okay. I thought that as I was saying it. Pretty crap. And who's going to fight against the Shopify marketing machine?
Hi guys, and welcome to the Watson Weekend today. Today we're going to have a little bit different format where I am actually going to be in a discussion with Joe Baker, the founder and CEO of Shipper HQ. If you know Joe, she has a lot of opinions and has been a longtime friend in the Adobe Magento community. She's a Shopify partner. She's worked with BigCommerce as a partner there in the past. So she knows a lot about the space, a lot of time on task. She has this wonderful British sense of humor, and I think a lot of fun will come out of the interview. We go everywhere from what Shopify is doing, what Adobe's doing, what they should be doing, where are they missing opportunities, funny, interesting things that are happening here. So I really hope you find the interview fascinating. And with that, thanks for checking out the Watson Weekend. We're your go-to place every week for retail news, tech, e-commerce, all the things. Usually we have a co-host. So next time, every week, Friday at noon, check out our show and see you on YouTube. All right. I am here with Joe Baker, CEO and founder of Shipper HQ and an old friend, industry rabble rouser. And maybe we're both in that category, Joe.
I mean, I feel like you take the biscuit on that one, right? Like,
It's
I'm no competition to you, my friend.
possible. So why don't you take us back? Why are we on this call?
Well, I think both of us are fairly controversial. Would you agree with that? And we state our opinions, some more than others. And I was at Adobe Commerce event, and I put out some stuff around Adobe Commerce cloud solution and Adobe Optimizer. And I think not so much me, but other people were also talking about it. And you decided to give your opinion on it, and kind of slammed it into the ground, I think it would be fair to say. And I think like it kind of started from there, right? But we've as we both know, we're very good old, I don't know we know each other that well, but we come across each other in the space and meet, and we had a hug at Shop Talk. So I think it's good to have sometimes like both sides of the discussion and stuff like that. So I think that off the back of that and us getting into a fairly vibrant discussion, we decided to come here and just briefly discuss it and discuss what's going on in e-commerce. Is that how you see it too? Because otherwise I'm in the wrong stream.
No, I think we could be in the wrong place. And that's okay too. Because we could just riff on whatever comes to top of mind. I think definitely I agree with you. The genesis of this discussion was Adobe, what they're doing in commerce. It seems to me, look, finding hosts for Magento hasn't always been the easiest thing. Magento has tried in the past to introduce a native cloud solution, even a multi-tenant SaaS solution in the past. This seems a little bit more like a automatically hosted solution, perhaps an auto perhaps even an automatically scaled one, which if you're an existing customer, seems like a good path for you, almost like moving your stuff from on-prem to a cloud, obviously depending on if there are any restrictions. It definitely seems like a step towards what in 2025 should have been done 5, 10 years ago, and like moving to a more cloud native future for the company. But the question is it going to change the competitive dynamics, which is I think is one of the questions of the post. Is this move on its own? And maybe it's an unfair standard. Is this move on its own going to create net new installs for Adobe?
Well, is it going anywhere? I think is the ultimate question, right? And then, obviously, as we know, Shopify is the, it's the kind of the massive solution in the room, right? And like, how is this impacting in any way, shape, or form on that? And I think that, like, at the core of, you know, one of the things that is important is that when people, you know, like yourself talk online, is that you have an influence, right? So that's one of the reasons why, you know, I come back a little bit on it, because I do think that there needs to be more of a balanced conversation sometimes, because our ultimate goal together, and I think we're both in full agreement on this, is the customer and the growth of the ecosystem, the growth of all of us, right? Like, we're all dependent on it, right? Like, in some way or another. But if you go and look at, you know, what Adobe's done, I mean, I think it's very easy for Adobe and stroke Magento, you know, and stroke anything, right? Like, Shopify gets it as well, to get slammed.
Right.
And the question is, like, we have to start getting objective about what's going on, what's happened. And I think with Adobe, they need to stop apologizing for Magento. Mm. And we all need to kind of move on from whatever that was, right? I get it.
That's an interesting statement. Like, what do you mean Adobe should stop apologizing for Magento?
Well, I think this is this thing. It's like there's a lot of, you know, precisely what you said, which is they should have done this 5 years ago, or they should have done that. Well, the reality was 5 years ago, we walked into a COVID pandemic, and that threw every plan in the book out the window for most organizations, right? And look, Adobe didn't, should Adobe have done more with Magento? Absolutely. Did they let an ecosystem kind of die? Absolutely. But you've got to turn the leaf on that one and go, where are we now and where are we heading? Yeah. And now we're in a AI-powered, very fast, innovative ecosystem. So the question is, where does this sit inside that? That's the real question. So you should answer that question. So go on then, Rick.
Yeah, I mean, look, where is the innovation? I mean, one of the things that we wanted to talk about today is, where is the innovation coming from in commerce? And I think the reality is, most of the innovation is not coming from the platform vendors themselves. I think, with exceptions, I think if you look at any part of the e-commerce stack and then, like, rewind the tape 10, 15 years, has e-commerce been improving? Yes. What do we count as innovation, and what do we just count as good luck or a good decision here and there? For instance, if you look at, I'm just going to go back to the standard checkout in the space. If you looked at Demandware, if you look at Magento, if you look at ATG in 2010, was like create account or checkout as guest, which was like, as we sit here today, it's like a huge conversion stopper. Right? Because having guests make decisions and then you're not recognizing them. And even if they've done business with you before, you make them put in your password, and guest checkout is sort of the worst. PayPal has been asleep, it seems like, 15 years until the new CEO started like a year and a half ago. And so it seems like they're catching up to Shopify. And so I think there's no denying that Shopify has added innovation to the space, I think primarily in two areas. One is checkout. I think they have pushed the industry forward in checkout conversion. And you need to look no further than all the similar checkouts that maybe Shopify banned as part of its ecosystem, like the Bolt and the Bold and the Fast and like all these things that don't exist anymore. PayPal essentially doing a straight copy of Shopify checkout in their new Fastlane checkout. And you just wouldn't build this checkout the same way anymore. And so I think that is, to me, something where Shopify is kind of moved the industry forward. I think the other way Shopify has moved the industry forward is its ecosystem, I think, is probably one of the better ecosystems that have been put together, for better and worse, since Magento. And I think in e-commerce in the past 25 years, Magento has really been the gold standard of ecosystems, which is why I think it's a worthy discussion, because part of it is just so sad what has happened to such a long, vibrant ecosystem. But that's just sort of what happens in technology, period. Like, we can't avoid that. No one's going to Bargento anymore. You know what I mean?
There is still a healthy Magento ecosystem, right? Like, I would say it's primarily in Europe. You know, Hoover's got a fair amount of traction over there.
Yeah.
You know, Meet Magento UK is going on this year, I believe, without Adobe. You know, there is still stuff there, but the choice is for merchants, right? Like, where are you going to put your money? Where are you going to spend, you know, if you're going to go out and spend, you know, whether that's 500 grand, a million, 10 million, right? Where are you going to put that, right? Like if you're at any size, that matters. Now, some of the agencies, what you're seeing, especially over in places like Germany, what they're starting to do is stop talking about the platforms. And instead, what they're talking about is what they do as an agency and then what they leverage underneath. But I just want to come back a little bit on the checkout. Like, I think that one of the biggest things about Magento was, and one of the reasons why Magento exploded. So if you go back to 2008, there was a real explosion with Magento, which frankly did not happen with Shopify anywhere near as fast, right? Mm-hmm. But Magento was a very extensive, deep platform that could do a lot of things. Admittedly complex, right? You know, like, you know, you needed a kind of guy in house that was quite technical generally, or you needed a very good agency that cost you money. Yeah. And that's what Shopify solved, right? But they allowed you to do things in a million ways. And that, when you talk about the checkout and Shopify and places like that, there are still a lot of APIs not exposed there that allow technology partners to be able to fully innovate in those spaces. And like you say, there's a lockdown environment. Now, I understand the reasons why, right? Like Shopify, is Shopify a e-commerce platform or is Shopify a payment provider? Right? That's a big question.
It's a very fair question.
The thing about growth is that, in my view, is that growth should happen we have to put the customer first, right? But I believe that in technology in general, that, and I get it, there's bias everywhere. Growth is not always about the customer. Growth is about your shareholders, your PE firm, your VC, your this and your that. And that can sometimes be inhibited. The best platform that could come to market right now is the one that most enables its ecosystem. And the question would be that I would have to you is, is that Shopify?
I think it's a good question. I think it's a slippery question because is what's best for the ecosystem, and here's why, is what's best for the ecosystem, meaning like developers and agencies, always what's best for the buyer? And the reason is you see it all the time where an SI will increase the cost or increase the scope of something because it's something they can maintain, or they'll propose a solution that is a little bit overly complicated. Shopify, for better or worse, I would say for both, it, you know, depending on your point of view, if you're an agency, it's a little bit like who moved my cheese. I used to do a 350K Magento build. Now, at best, I'm doing a 75K Shopify build. At best. And so from a merchant's point of view, that's just like, that sounds like more, I mean, to me as a technology watcher for like my whole lifetime, that sounds like Moore's Law to me. You know what I mean? Like this is inevitable. Yeah. Costs are going to come down. And the person who enables looks at sort of the bigger picture and there's like, this is inefficient. Why are we custom building things? And when I talk to bigger merchants, it's almost like the decision isn't between Shopify the platform and Magento the platform or Salesforce the platform. The decision is our user experience a true differentiator for us, or is what we get out of the box at a potentially lower cost of ownership plenty good enough for our buyer? And as a result, we don't need agencies, in-house developers. We can focus on putting that money back into marketing and innovative marketing solutions, which is like where actually I think a lot of the true innovation has come in e-commerce in the past 5-7 years. It's like social commerce and new ways to sell your products, new ways to consider all this AI consideration technology. None of the platforms did any of that. None of the platforms could do any of that.
Yeah, agreed. And I think that it's one of those, it depends, right? So it depends on you as an e-commerce merchant, right? Like with Shopify, you know, you are trading different things for other things, right? Now, it's not necessarily complexity for simplicity or this for that. Like there's compromises somewhere, but there's also things that are happening that give you abilities that you have nowhere else, right? Like some of their AI capabilities and what they're doing around product description, other people don't have that. So it's not like you're saying you're taking a lesser product if you take Shopify. And there are massive advantages to having everything under one wrapper. I mean, Apple proved this, right? Before, you know, we all moved to Macs, right? Like everybody was bringing all of these different components together to build a computer and the best computer. But what's interesting is that what you're seeing now is that there is a move back to that kind of PC world and the building of the computers. You know, like it's always been there, but there's more of a move back to that now, interestingly, because people want more power and they want more things and everything. And I would question if you take an enterprise level merchant, the thing is that at what point does that lower cost of ownership actually start to cause a net negative? And when you get into the enterprise, sometimes the small things matter, right? Yeah. Sometimes the fact that you're, you know, if you're doing, you know, $10 million worth of orders a week, the support that you can get off of the back of that, of not doing simple things like, you know, I'm in the shipping space, but not actually delivering to that date will generate a lot of support calls, right? Like the upsell that you miss out on not getting that basket value at, like that adds up. So then it becomes more important for people to get into that detail. And the question then is can Shopify compete at that level? And maybe that's more the conversation. And then the definition of what is enterprise? Is it 10 million? Is it 100 million? Is it 500 million?
So I think what people have forgotten along the way is that the platform was always more than the platform. If you think about SAP and Oracle, for instance, like that level of enterprise platform or WebSphere, it's about the merchandising system, the marketing platform, the connections to the product lifecycle management system, the OMS. That was all these things together were part of the enterprise stack. And regardless of what you're doing, you know, your data platform, you were backed by an Oracle 11G database. That was all, you know what I mean? That was like part of what you needed to run the enterprise. And Oracle was kind of stepping into commerce from a position of strength from their database business. I mean, let's just talk about Oracle for a second. Shopify is coming at it from a completely different direction, such that like, if you look at, I'm just going to say $1 billion retailer or a $1 billion brand, which they're not like a ton of them, but trying to move from Oracle to Shopify, it's almost a ridiculous question because Shopify solves part of this problem. And mainly the front end and mainly the checkout. But everything else has almost absolutely nothing to do with Shopify. Almost zero to do. And for good and bad. For good, that Shopify can get in there quickly and get out. For bad, meaning that if some of these big iron systems like their OMS or their WMS or their PIM or their merchandising system are broken, or their data backplane, like their master data management, if any one of those things is really screwed up, Shopify has a really hard time, even if they win the business, actually affecting the enterprise. And the reason is because they're in their lane, like for better or worse.
And their lane traditionally, in my mind, and look, they've got some massive brands, right? I like Shopify, by the way. We have a lot of customers on Shopify.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to say, like, what my goal of some of what I'm doing here with you is I'm playing a bit of devil's advocate and some of, you know, the thing, but I just want to make it clear that is that agnostic thing and that choice thing is really what I'm trying to get across, right? But Shopify was known initially as being for the entrepreneur. Exactly what you were talking about, lower total cost of ownership, simplicity, right? It was okay. Yeah. Like you have a lot of complexity over there. Do you really need it? No, let's take all that out. You now don't need an in-house person. This now works for you. But as you talk about the enterprise and what you're just saying, what you're actually saying is what Shopify is really doing is it's managing the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. You tell me the one word that like Adobe is known for.
Adobe. Experience. Creative, that, experience, one of those two words.
Yeah, they're the creatives, right? Now, obviously, Canva's coming up and everything else. So, you know, they're like the incumbents, right? And right. Shopify is an incumbent. Adobe is an incumbent. So there are other people prowling around here, right? It's not saying Adobe is ruling the world. But the reality of it is that we are moving into, as AI comes in more and more, this is why you're so popular, Rick, because you're a personality, right? People want to see somebody.
Am I, Joe?
Yeah, this is it. This is your popularity, my friend. You know? All your dreams are coming true. And the thing about it is with Adobe is that they have a real opportunity with all of their suite, right, which is a lot, to really impact on that enterprise. But they also have an opportunity to really impact on what that experience is, right? Mm-hmm. And if you look at the moves that they've made, they have the, let's call it technology stack, right, to fully own the creative experience in checkout. Now, I would argue that is very similar to what both Magento and Shopify did back in 2007, 2008 space. They brought a very different product to market. Mm. If you look at the moves that Shopify is making, right, they are promoting a lot from within and they're very heavily invested in their AI side. But where is their creative revolution? Because what I see is them going, okay, we'll be inside OpenAI and ChatGPT, you can talk to it. But I think that people more and more are going towards, I know I am, I'm watching YouTube shorts and I'm watching like funny things on Instagram, but I'm less, you know, the normal is becoming bland, if that makes sense. Like I want things that shock me or really make me jump out of my skin and stuff like that. And I think that e-commerce is going to go in that same way. And I think this is less about all of that underlying technology and patches and installs and everything else, and actually all about experience.
Yeah, I think it's a fair point. I do also think that it's interesting. I noted that Shopify hired a chief design officer, as you mentioned, internally. In the past 2 weeks, which either of us, as we love to do sometimes, can only speculate what it means for some of the points that you're making. It could be a realization that something needs to change. Like there needs to be a step change difference for Shopify. Look, it's safe to say that when a big public company, which Shopify is, creates a new C-level position from nothing.
Yeah.
It's not
they got rid of it, right?
It's not. It's not a 100%. It's not a small move, and so they're planning. They're just to me just the same that Toby hiring a CTO. You know, 2 years ago, that has 90% of his background as AI leader for huge scale companies. It's not an accident, and I think Shopify adding a chief design officer is also not an accident. Can they dent kind of the Adobe situation? Where do they feel like? I think Shopify feels to me like they risk losing the front end. Because what I see happening in enterprises, when people are making the Shopify decision, it's almost like liquid versus headless or liquid versus a CMS. That's almost like...
Yeah.
The first decision that's being made, and whoever wins that decision is almost like winning the rest of it.
Correct.
In a crazy, I don't know if it's a backwards way to make decisions, but it's definitely discussions I see happening.
You do make a really interesting point. Like, what is an e-commerce platform today? And it has really changed in terms of what that is now. It's like a plumbing thing with that, you know, experience layer on it, the product catalog and everything. But there's so much, I mean, outside of, you know, we're moving into the $10-20 million and above, you know, person, right? But outside of those, like you start to get into, you know, inventory management systems, ERPs, et cetera, that come into play. So the e-commerce system is actually quite small in that. I think that where Adobe is really, you know, if we roll back a little bit, like where is Adobe really missing the mark right now?
Yeah.
Is they do keep apologizing for Magento. Stop, take it off the site, right? Magento should be its, you know, let Magento be whatever Magento wants to be. Like I started on Magento. I have a very fond affinity with it, but like it needs to move on, move up or move out, right? Like whatever, somebody needs to take control of it. And the reality is there isn't that person. So I don't see, you know, I personally don't see Hoover doing it with their platform. I don't know who's going to do it, but that would gradually deteriorate.
I heard rumors that HubSpot was looking to acquire an e-commerce platform. Do you think Adobe should sell Magento to something like a HubSpot CRM type of thing with a B2B affinity?
They're not going to, right? Because they're ripping it apart, right? So they're slowly, piece by piece, taking it out. So Adobe Commerce Cloud, you know, you can get a site up and running in 5 minutes. Like, they're definitely going after SaaS, right? But Adobe Optimizer, which is really interesting, is a kind of headless solution. Doesn't do the checkout, incidentally, which I think is a miss. But like with that, you could plug Shopify in underneath. So you have the potential to use the Adobe tools, create the Adobe experience, and still sit Shopify underneath. But like,
is that
you
the
say,
next version? Is that the next version of Adobe Experience Manager, or is that just a different level of it?
So it's a separate tool. So, I'm not trying to champion Adobe here, but there's Adobe Commerce Cloud, and then there's Adobe Optimizer. Both are coming out in June. They're very much aimed at that 10 to 15 mil and above. But this is where I think Adobe, when I went to the talks on this with Adobe, and like, just to be clear, I'm partners with, you know, Shopify, BigCommerce, that we haven't spoken about at all, and Adobe. So, you know, I sit across all of these. But when I went to the talks on this, what I heard was a lot of talking about backend infrastructure and DevOps and edge delivery and this, that, and the other. And it's like, what Adobe's really missing is they need to go and find some creative people and go and theme some front ends for it and actually show us what the hell this thing does. And they haven't done that yet. And I'm like, you guys are insane. And that's really what Shopify needs to do as well with this new design guy, right? That's what we want to see.
You know, it's almost like whenever here's a good analogy. I think, first of all, I think you're 100%. I think that's a brilliant thought. And here's why. Whenever Steve Jobs introduced a new iPhone, who did they have on stage with them all the time? Because they own part of it, but Disney is the answer. And so if you think of Disney or Pixar or one of them, and obviously Steve Jobs had a connection to them. Yeah. And the reason is because you're viewed as one of the most creative, innovative companies on the planet with the characters and the ecosystems and the things you can buy and how freaking expensive Disney World has gotten and all these things, right? But who else can create experiences? When they introduce those failed VR goggles that no one's going to wear, but we all got excited about for 5 minutes, Disney was a big partner there, right? Because you could see the characters and your stupid face on the face.
That's it.
And
you've
so
got to set it.
If Adobe Adobe has an unchallengeable, let's say, generally position with creative professionals that grew up on its tools, including new ones. Obviously, they're adding a bunch of AI to it. It seems like a no-brainer for me, like Adobe, to partner with Disney and show us what the front end of e-commerce should be.
I mean, yes. And then the same as what happened with, and Shopify is the same opportunity, by the way.
Yeah.
The same, it's like, if you lead, you have to set the vision. And like, and this is where I think Adobe just keeps apologizing to the developers. Forget the developers. If you talk to some of the agencies, they've had to completely retool, right? So when they were working on Magento, they were, you know, full-on PHP developers, et cetera, et cetera. And what they are now really is it's a lot about marketing, right? Like they're doing design, marketing, SEO, optimization, focused on conversion. The Shopify way is a different skill set. Right. Yeah. And it's like, that's what you, like, people need to talk to now. Like, you need to talk to a different skill set of person and move on from what it was 15 years ago. But if you actually create these experiences, I think what you'll find is, and this is exactly what happened with like OS Commerce, when Magento came along, overnight OS Commerce looked archaic. And I think that the platform that best negotiates this and also best negotiates their SDKs and their partner network, because there's no doubt that innovation cannot be fully led from within a company. I do not believe that. I think that innovation has to involve an ecosystem. So if you can do those things, I think that they almost, people have to, you know, when they choose to re-platform, they're going to go, I want to go to the sexy new thing. They're not going to pick something that looks out of date. And this is where some of these platforms right now are really struggling, because their technology and the way they look is out of date.
Yeah, I think that's a technology thing. And I think the hidden killer advantage that Shopify has is their ecosystem, because it is hard to replicate how easy it is to install new Shopify apps compared to other commerce ecosystems. It's just a fact. If you look through retailers that are on other platforms, everything is a freaking project. And everything takes 2 to 4 weeks, and everything needs to go on a roadmap or this and that. And yeah, that's true with some Shopify things, but there are a lot of things you could just sort of like click a button. It doesn't work. Again, for better and worse, sometimes for worse, because there are a lot of junk. There are a lot of junk apps in the ecosystem, and I'll be the first person to say that too. But
yeah, I think, I mean, I certainly, you know, to bring BigCommerce in it, I mean, I think that's a click and play. So, you know, I'm not trying to defend the other platforms or put down Shopify.
You said BigCommerce, but did you say BigCommerce was click and pray?
No comment. The trouble is with the App Store, right? Is it's a bit of the Wild West, right? We know that there's a lot of problems with reviews, right? It's commonly spoken about on, you know, X.com. You know, there's a lot of there's a little bit of a club over there on the Shopify side, right? Like, right. And if you're in it, it's great, and if you're not, it's not. And really, you know, ecosystems should be, if you know, if you're going to be the kind of curator of an ecosystem, I think you have a responsibility to bring innovation up, support it, and for them to trust in that. So that's what tech partners in general are looking for, right? For us, it's like a car park, right? Where do we want our customers to be, where we can most evolve our customers, but also where we're safe, right? If I'm going to go and spend, you know, we've got projects going on right now that are costing us, you know, 2, 3, 4 million to, you know, to do, right? So if I'm going to go and spend that kind of money, I want to make sure that I'm not going to have the legs chopped off me with changes on the platform, right? And I think that, and I also want to know that I have, you know, decent exposure for that is just, right? So if I'm getting a lot of kind of negative reviews coming up against me that, you know, are not managed by the platform and stuff like that, that kind of causes me a problem, right?
Yeah.
I think one of the things that Adobe's doing is learning the lessons from the Magento marketplace, which really was the Wild West, just like WooCommerce WordPress, is they've got a curated app ecosystem.
Right.
And I like that, right? Because what they're saying is that they're protecting the people that, you know, are investing the money. Because right now on Shopify, the reality is you can run an app and you can be running that on a little server in your garage. And that is, you know, in the checkout, supporting all these customers, right? You have no real knowledge about like what the availability is, the regions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, the security of it, et cetera.
Yeah.
And all of that costs money. And I think that, you know, I don't know, like, I feel like each of the platforms needs to consider this. So when you say it's really easy to plug it in, there is another side of that. Mm. It's really easy and it's really cheap, but there's a cost to that. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I do think there's a cost to it. And I do think there are real costs to having too many apps in your store and, you know.
Absolutely.
Right. And especially considering how they're hosting. I'm not sure any platform I've seen has ever solved a problem like that. I think Shopify views their long-term solution. You see this a little bit with their built for Shopify, the direction that seems to be headed with that badging is like your app needs to be built on Hydrogen, which will help them guarantee availability and things like that. Is it heavy-handed? Yes. But you know what I mean?
I agree. You can understand
where it's coming from, because once you get big enough, it almost becomes like a tax on the platform. You can't act like the Wild West anymore because the stakes are higher.
I agree. And they are doing, I would say a pretty good job around that. Like they're adding a lot of performance requirements in on the checkout. I think like going back to that checkout side, like, I mean, there was a lot of problems with Magento in terms of malware inside that checkout, right? All over the news.
So many.
Right? So Shopify grabbing hold of that checkout and that payment piece, you know, has helped merchants, right? Like people were literally, you know, like,
I mean, how many Magento stores did you see got installed? They installed the one click checkout on Magento because everybody wants a one click checkout, even though maybe they shouldn't. But the old checkout was still activated. And as a result, that was completely taken over by bots and fraudsters and bad actors. It happened every time.
And a patch a week, et cetera. But that's that's one of the things that the Adobe Commerce Cloud takes away, right?
Right,
like exactly. They are taking full management of patches and everything else. I'm assuming they're taking on that full PCI DSS compliance on that server side piece of it, et cetera, right? Now, like, all you've really got there and is an equivalence to what Shopify's already been doing, but they're behind.
Right.
That's the reality of it, right? Like, but Shopify is like moving much faster. I do think that Shopify right now is very focused on their internal AI infrastructure. But I think what we're going to see as we move into 2026.
One second, let me grab this. I'll hold on.
Hello.
No, you're good.
Sorry about that. Can you repeat what you just said?
Yeah, let's cover that off. I think that right now, like Shopify is very focused on their internal AI infrastructure. I think as we go into 2026, we're going to see that open out. Because I'm seeing that HubSpot, don't know if you use it, they're coming out with product after product after product. Mm. So it's almost like they've got over this AI thing. And I think Shopify is doing the same. Do you see it the same way, that that's what they're doing right now? They're like almost retooling internally.
I definitely see it. And I think we're going to see it more as we go forward, for sure. I would love to close off on Magento. Why should Adobe have sold Magento 5 years ago? Like, what's keeping it around except for the fact that Coca-Cola is on it, you know, for instance? No one wants to get rid of Coca-Cola as a customer.
I think T-Mobile's on it as well, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we still have a fair amount of our clients on Magento / Adobe. So, you know, it's fair to say there's still a lot of money and revenue going through it. Adobe, you know, in my mind, Adobe acquired this because they need an e-commerce platform, right? Mm-hmm. So they're now taking that as their basis to build a commerce future. The question is, where are they building it for? But my understanding is that, you know, they're making pretty good money on this, better than they was on Magento. So better than Magento is making on it. So there's a reason for them to keep it. I don't think they're going to sell it. They need the technology. They're building off of it. They're going to replace it. Are they trying to be Shopify? No. Does Shopify do a really good job of where Shopify is? Yes. But I don't think that they're trying to be the same thing. And I think that that's the...
Yeah.
But, you know, they need commerce inside their stack, right? We're both agreed on that, right?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think for a company the size of Adobe to have a partner-only strategy, it's probably a bridge too far. Could it all work on Adobe Commerce Cloud? Maybe. Would anyone migrate? Probably not. They would probably just migrate somewhere else if they were forced to migrate, as what happened with like Magento 1 to 2 or OS, like any upgrade is usually very difficult to manage for our customers. And so as a result, we kind of get what we have, which is like Magento goes along and innovation is happening, but existing customers aren't really mostly taking advantage of it.
Well, you see, if you're on Magento now, even if you're on Magento 1 or you're on BigCommerce or you're on Shopify, you can, you know, as of June, according to what they're saying, you can go and plug in, you know, Adobe Optimizer and get a headless solution using Adobe. And the question is going to be, how well does Adobe execute on that? And is that a game changer? And unless they get across this creative, it is just something on paper. They need the Steve Jobs and the Disney in the room, because I don't think they've got either right now.
Yeah, look, I think the conversation then wanders back to the other question, which is, does the average Magento merchant need a headless front end? And I think the answer is probably no. Because it's more expensive than it would otherwise be, because they don't need like quite as much flexibility as they think they do. Do they have more control? Yes. For a lot of companies, particularly in B2B scenarios, you need a heck of a lot more flexibility, both in the infrastructure and in the front end, than Shopify currently provides. Like, it's like, particularly as you walk into the B2B realm, there are a lot of gaps SIs are filling for Shopify and are like papering over. They're like, look at this integrated solution where you walk into another platform, it's out of the box.
Yeah, but I think that what you have to consider is like there's a cost to replatforming, right? And, you know, for a lot of people, they don't want to go for that cost. But if you've got something that's got a really aging front end, so I think we need to think about it less about headless, right? Yeah. And think about it more from a customer perspective, which is I've got a really aging front end, but right. I don't want to mess around, you know, replugging in all of these various systems and this, that, and the other, right?
Like, yeah, then I think it's gonna
could
be...
make sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit once bitten, twice shy. And so I think Adobe has some trust to rebuild, because I think there are cases where you had Magento customers that had been on the platform for 10 years that went to Adobe and saying, hey, I need to improve my front end. These templates are enough. I don't want to just go to another theme. They were advised by Adobe to go to a headless front end. Adobe didn't have a solution for them. They sent them to an SI, and then they're in a custom solution. Yeah. And they're like, I don't say handcuffed, but they're basically handcuffed, because now you're a developer, right?
Agreed.
And the average merchant didn't need
the
that.
The average merchant should be looking at Shopify or BigCommerce.
But I think a commerce optimizer can solve all the problems of those. An easier out-of-the-box experience for a Magento front ends for someone who probably isn't going to re-platform, then I do think it could have uptake for those customers, and I think it could improve their businesses.
The other question that you've got really is like, if you're a B2B business with a technology stack that's, you know, heavily hooked into this system, that system, that system, is Shopify a way forward? And I think the answer to that is it's becoming a way forward. Mm. But I think there is still work to do on all of them. But there's no doubt about it, right? Like, if I was somebody said to me, what platform? I've got a new e-commerce site. I need to put it on somewhere. Where would you put it? I'd be going Shopify. No two ways about it, right? But I don't think that it comes back to what I said to you about perception, right? And that's what you have to be really careful of, is because people will take one thing or another thing. I think that... Yeah. You know, our job is in some ways to say to people, well, these are the pros and these are the cons. And I think sometimes there is too much of a reluctance of people to say anything about what other platforms are doing, because, you know, we're worried about whatever on that. But really, the customer needs to be at the fore of what we talk about here.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think...
Does that make sense?
No, I think it makes a great deal of sense. And I think there are a lot of situations. It doesn't necessarily mean it passes the 80-20 rule all the time, but there are still a lot of situations that don't fit what Shopify is doing and probably won't soon. And I think that's healthy. The ecosystem needs that, because what Shopify's vision, Shopify has a very singular vision for what they want the platform to do. And as a result, it isn't designed kind of like from a choice first point of view. I think Shopify does offer choices, but not quite as many choices as some of the places that are designed with choice from the beginning. Like, if you're going to say, like, what's the opposite of Shopify's original vision, you would probably go to something like a commerce tools or like an open source platform like Magento, because you could do absolutely whatever it is you can dream up.
Yeah.
Right.
I think other platforms being there, it's like anything. If you only had one car in the universe, it'd be pretty boring. So, you know, why did they get a new, you know, head of design? Is that because of what Adobe's doing? Great, that makes Shopify better. Like, that's what you want to see. I want to see the innovation. The one thing, Rick, that you haven't discussed at all in this whole talk, because I know we need to close it up, is BigCommerce. What's your feeling there?
Yeah, look, I think BigCommerce, I mean, I've made my feelings pretty well known, and mostly in a way to like get the company to wake up and like, what the hell is going on there? And this is like going back the last 3, 4, 5 years, every earnings call, it seems like the same thing. We're going to grow a little bit more. We're going to be a little bit more profitable. And we're like being passed by, you know what I mean? And that was like the vibe. And it's almost like management didn't care. Which might be a little bit harsh, but that's the vibe that came across. So, like, they weren't showing up in RFPs. They, you know, they weren't doing aggressive marketing. Maybe they didn't have the money to do it because of profitability and like whatever. But that was the end result, was like irrefutable, because even if you just look at what should have been the best period for e-commerce in the history of the world was COVID, right? BigCommerce was the only company that did not, with commerce in the name, that did not take advantage of that period, which is saying something. I mean, it's saying quite a bit. And so coming out of this, I think a leadership. They IPO'd 10 years ago, right?
No, they IPO'd during COVID.
I thought they IPO'd a couple of years before COVID. Maybe I'm wrong.
They IPO'd and they're at $5. So they've got a very low market cap right now. They've got stuff to do. What is it? I always say 3/4. When I bring in a new senior person in my company, I'm like, you got, you know, first quarter settle in, second quarter there should be some movement, and third quarter there should be some change. So what is Travis in? I think he's heading into Q3, right? So
Yeah, I think the eyeballs are definitely on him. I think he's in a new role. He's a agency lifer. All respect to Travis and what he's done in his career. That's been his background. And I think, does that mean he's going to run the best software platform in the world? I think that remains to be seen. And in particular, if you look at like what are the possible outcomes, it's harder than ever to be a public company right now, particularly a public company that has been historically struggling. And so as a result, people, including me, have been speculating for years, like, should BigCommerce go private? There have been so many companies, Avalara, Zendesk, et cetera, that have been public, that have been taken private by private equity. And BigCommerce, I think, hasn't been taken private because it would upset the existing investors. Like, they would have to take the valuation down even further than like whatever the $5 here. And so as a result, continue marching forward. And so as a result, we're talking about like some kind of asymmetric outcome. Like, the management team that is new and brought in has to be given time to completely transform the company and to develop a different competitive advantage vis-a-vis the industry. Forget about Shopify. Shopify is like a competitor. You can't win by focusing on the competition. You have to focus on where the market is going. Like, what is your value to buyers and merchants? And so that's what I've yet to fully hear from BigCommerce yet. I hear like pragmatic composability, curated composability. Like, that's not it. Like, that's not the quantum leap forward.
Yeah. I agree. And it raises back an interesting point. Like, if you go back to your Disney and Steve Jobs kind of metaphor thing, you know, there's no two ways about it. Toby and Harley, you know, leading that company and the vision that they set, like, it needs to continue and everything else, but you're not seeing that elsewhere. And like, you know, BigCommerce,
they need to be more aggressive. Look, Shopify, some of the stuff they do, I think, is pretty cringe. Like, we're talking about enterprise customers. They bring out fucking Mr. Beast. I mean, and like Lunchables or whatever. I mean, these things aren't enterprise deals. So it's kind of ridiculous, some of the stuff that you have the comparison to, but that's like the high bar. And so like, I think a consistent message that's out there every single day and aggressive is a good start. Like, let's start doing that.
Yeah, agreed. Well, the one nice thing or you know, and bad thing is that, you know, Travis has changed, I think, about 95% of the management team, including all of product, marketing, sales, I think pretty much every division, right? Like, so, you know, like, that causes its own problems. But if he gets the right team in, maybe change will happen. But I don't think any of us, what is our TLDR on this is, you know, Adobe needs to get some creative vision moving. Shopify, standout winner in the game. Interesting to see how they move forward into the enterprise space. BigCommerce, you know,
Jury's still out.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's chapters of a book remaining to be written for them. But I think the default outcome for BigCommerce is a bad outcome. And so the reason why I think BigCommerce needs to make such big bets is that exact reason. You can't just sort of keep doing what you're doing. You have to take big bets. Big bets can be risky. Some of them are going to fail, but you got to do it.
You don't think that BigCommerce is going to fall down the trap of a kind of like a Toys R Us where somebody buys it and just sucks the money out, because they have over 300 million in revenue, and I think they're only worth about, their market cap's about 450. So, you know, somebody buys them out cheap, you could just suck them out.
Anything's possible, man. I've seen so much in this industry that, you know, I guess nothing surprises you. It's been like almost like a parlor game for who's going to buy big commerce for the past 3-4 years. The board ran a process last year and it came up Bupkis. So what can you say to that? What do you say to that, that it wasn't desirable enough to the right buyer on both sides? Like, I'm sure they got offers.
Or the right seller.
But probably unattractive offers.
The thing about big commerce, though, I want to make sure I do play devil's advocate a little bit and leave this so it's square. I do think that they're winning in the B2B space, and we certainly see that with our customers. And I will say this about them: they get very involved with their customer base. They're not hands off. They care a lot. There has been a lot of management changes, but in general, what I hear from agencies and such like is that, you know, the big commerce, you know, agency partner program and the way that they look after the customers, like it's almost boutique-y for such a large business. So I do think that there is a lot to like about big commerce. Their marketing has been, frankly, pants. So, but it's very hard to.
You'll have to translate that for me, like British to English pants, translation.
Okay. You know, I thought that as I was saying it, pretty crap. And but you know, who's going to fight against the Shopify marketing machine, right? They have so much money, right, in comparison. So, right. But I think on the B2B side, if I think about B2B, I think about e-commerce.
Yeah, I definitely think, look, that's where they have had a foothold. I do think they're losing that foothold. Rightly or wrongly, I think Shopify is in more B2B deals now than I've seen at any time in the last 5 years. They're not winning all of them, but they're in them. Mm-hmm. Whereas 3 years ago, they weren't even in them. Like, they weren't on the list. And I think that is a dangerous thing for big commerce more than anyone else.
Yeah, interesting times. Well, it's good to talk to you, Rick.
Always. Awesome, Joe. I really appreciate the time.